the hardest part is in the beginning, how long it takes to really learn stuff. Didn't really see any success, honestly, whatsoever for the first 2 years. I was trying as hard as I could to. I wasn't like putting a little bit of time into it. Like I was putting everything I had into it outside of my regular day job. Just as I went along, I learned more and more and more. The biggest thing for me at that point was learning that shipping is very expensive. You need your box to be small. The light bulb moment that took us from not really doing too much in sales for the first couple of years to starting to really like go upward was the buckets used to all be plastic buckets, like a soft, flexible plastic. And the box was pretty big that they came in. And then I figured out after looking at my roommate throw his laundry into his pop-up laundry hamper that I should just make the buckets pop-up buckets. And that solved a ton of issues for us. The game could be cheaper now. The box is much smaller. I mean, it cut the game price in like half almost. Figure out the social media side and marketing of how to get the game out there. And it kind of all clicked at the same point. Like everything just started to come together. 2 years in is when like the snowball started rolling down the hill kind of at that point.
Welcome to the Mod Golf Podcast, where we talk with the entrepreneurs, the innovators, disruptors, and the influencers who are shaping the future of golf. Before we get started, I have some news to share with you. I am excited to announce that I just launched our Mod Golf Patreon page to bring together our close-knit community of golf-loving people. As the creator and host of the Mod Golf Podcast and YouTube channel, I've been telling golf entrepreneurship and innovation stories since May 2017, and I love the community of mod golfers that we are building. I'm on a mission to make golf more innovative, inclusive, and fun, and creating our Mod Golf Patreon community will help to amplify our impact. By joining, you will receive exclusive access to live monthly interactive shows, Ask Me Anything video events, bonus content, golf product discounts, and entry in members-only Mod Golf giveaway contests. I'm offering 2 monthly membership tiers, but you can also join for free. Your subscription will ensure the Mod Golf Podcast continues to grow so that I can focus on creating unique and impactful stories that support and celebrate the future of golf. I included the link to our Mod Golf Patreon subscription page in the episode show notes and would really appreciate it if you would consider joining. I look forward to seeing you during our first upcoming live show. My name is Colin Weston and I'm your host. And today I have someone that I met a couple weeks ago at the PGA show at Demo Day, which they hold on the Tuesday, which is this massive outdoor activation that they have. And ran across this one company, this one group that I just was drawn to, and this was Bucket Golf, and absolutely love what they did. I've already put a couple of YouTube shorts and some Instagram reels out there, so some of you may have seen it already, but I was talking to their founder and CEO, and that is Tyler Simmons, and I said, Tyler, hey, you got to come on the podcast. I love what you're doing, and voila, with the magic of recording, here we are today. So Tyler, welcome to the Mod Golf Podcast.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here for sure and chat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I always ask this icebreaker question to get us going here, Tyler, and that is your original connectivity to golf. When was the first time you ever picked up a golf club and that power of invitation? Who invited you or encouraged you to have your first golf experience?
So I was a late bloomer to golf. My friend who played golf his whole life growing up, middle school, he's a pretty good golfer. He's like a scratch golfer, played in high school. He invited me out to start playing when I was about 21 years old, I think. So still in college. As soon as I went out with him, I kind of got hooked immediately and just kept playing more and more from there until now.
Nice, nice. So you started to enjoy the full green grass experience, as we call it. So par 72, full set of 14 clubs, doing the traditional thing. It sounds like that's where you started, like most people do.
That is where I started, yep. I mean, I guess I played mini golf before that and hit the driving range and stuff when I was younger, but I wouldn't really count that as golf though. So
no. Well, a lot of people do now. It's like, especially with Top Golf and everything else. And what you have created here, I consider a golf experience also. So, okay. I want to hear, let's talk about the aha moment when the kind of light went off and what was the inspiration or the catalyst where you went from playing on a course with 14 clubs that it's like, hey, let's play in our backyard or on a beach or anywhere with one club with some friends. So tell us about the backstory in that moment of creation for Bucket Golf.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea itself actually isn't mine. Yeah, I became obsessed with real golf. I'd play all the time, but I couldn't really get any of my family members and not too many of my friends played, only a couple of them out to play with me ever. So on one of our summer vacations, there was this homemade golf game that was at the house we were staying at. We played the entire weekend. All my family was there, all my siblings, their plus ones, and then their friends were there. There was probably like 30 people at the house that weekend. We all played this golf game the whole entire time. And I loved the game and I had never really played it. So I asked my dad, like, where can I get one of these things? I want to have one so I can play. He's like, what do you mean? Where can you get one? I was like, where can I buy one? He's like, it's not real. We made it up. Oh, this isn't a real game. I was like, I don't believe you. Like, this game's addicting. Like, everyone loved it the whole weekend. Like, nobody there, maybe 5% of us were golfers. The rest were just people who like having a good time in backyard games and stuff. So searched the internet everywhere to try to like describe this game the way we were playing it, which is just like a backyard golf course, buckets, flags and whatnot, and just couldn't find anything that resembled this game that existed. So kind of at that point, asked the person that made the homemade sets, bought them from like 7 different stores, put together this like jimmy-rigged version of bucket golf to start. Right. It wasn't even called bucket golf. It had no name. I think it was just called lawn golf is what we were calling it. And they were like, oh, sure. Like, go ahead. Like, you can try to sell it if you want. And I was like, awesome. That's kind of how it all was born right there.
Love it. And for context, how long ago was that?
That was a long time ago, actually. That was back in 2016.
All right. It's not that long ago, but you know, in context, I guess in everything that's moved forward in golf. And what I love about what you're doing here is there's no technology involved here. Yeah, there's manufacturing and there's certain elements that you're putting this together. But as we saw at the PGA show, there's so many technology heavy offerings. And some of them, I'm sure, I'm not going to name any here. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I walk around and see some that are solutions looking for a problem. They're pretty gimmicky. And it's like, really, you're not really using technology for anything that adds value. Where what you're creating here is an experience and a new gameplay. So tell us about this, because I know there's certain rules, or walk through the journey. Let's say, I know people are listening right now, they can't see it, but we are going to jump on a video call for our YouTube channel where people can actually see some images, some video of bucket golf. In the show notes, we will include, of course, some imagery also. But walk our listeners through what an experience is like with you and a bunch of friends that are playing bucket golf.
Yeah, so bucket golf is an entire portable par 3 course that all fits in a bag that you can bring anywhere you want. So you can set it up in your backyard, you can take it on the plane on vacation, literally bring it, play it anywhere, beach, park, like doesn't matter. So it starts with, you bring your bucket golf bag to wherever you're going. Let's say you're going on vacation, you carry the bag out, the entire course is in there. And the first part of playing is you get a custom design your own course, which usually for most games or products out there, the setup is the worst part. But with this game, one of the best parts is the setup. Like, who doesn't love designing their own golf course? And it's different every single time you set it up, depending on where you set it up. So the first thing, setting up your course, however many holes you got. We have different amount of holes, of course. We have 3 through 18. Custom design your course, make it as hard or as easy as you want for whatever level people you're playing with. And then after your course is set up, it's pretty simple from there. Everyone has their own ball. Everyone has one club. Or you can share clubs if you're short on clubs. And then the only difference between real golf and bucket golf is the holes are actual pop-up buckets. Instead of having to putt the ball into the hole, you only use a wedge in bucket golf. And hitting any part of this bucket that we have counts as scoring to end the hole. But if you're able to sink your ball inside the bucket, you get to subtract that stroke off your score for that hole. So you're always trying to sink it, but it's not that easy. You end up hitting the outside of the bucket like 95% of the time, probably. Everything else is just like golf. You can just play straight up stroke play. If you hit your ball into a bush or out of bounds, you got to take a drop and take a stroke penalty. You can play partners, match play, use handicaps, whatever you want that you would do with real golf. And now just blend it into a scenario where you could play it anywhere.
I love it. I love it. So if you get a hole in one, in fact, you get a zero, correct? On your scorecard.
Yes, that is the best shot in bucket golf is a hole in zero, sinking it from the tee box. It doesn't happen that often, but it is gives you close to the feeling of what you get when you shoot a hole in one on the actual golf course. For all those who've actually hit a hole in one, I know there's not too many. I don't know what percent of golfers have gotten a hole in one, but similar feeling, just tone it down by about half the excitement level, but still pretty exciting when you do it.
Gotcha. So what is the most awesome, ridiculous zero that either you've got or you've been playing that someone else has got? with a hole that was set up and you thought maybe you could never get a zero on and someone did?
Let me think about this. I think the one I've seen in person that was the craziest one is someone hit it off of the top of a house and then it rolled back down the roof and ended up landing in the bucket. That was a pretty crazy one that I was there for. The craziest one I've ever seen though on video is this guy on, his name is Ziggy. He's on the Savannah Bananas, which is like a trick baseball team. And he was playing bucket golf and he sunk a shot. I didn't even know you could hit a bucket golf ball this far. It must have been like a 70-yard shot. And I thought the balls only would go about 40 yards. So I'm not sure what he did to get it to go this far. But he sunk it off the side of a wall from about 70 yards out. That was the most ridiculous shot I've ever seen. It's on our social media pages. It was a crazy shot.
We'll definitely have to include a link to that one there. So listeners are probably thinking, well, hold on a second. This sounds super dangerous. We got golf balls flying around and people swinging clubs. So why don't you tell us about the ball and tell us about the club?
Yeah, so the ball it's an oversized plastic ball. So it's much bigger than a golf ball. It's about a little bit bigger than a baseball is probably the best, or a little bit bigger than a pickleball, but smaller than a softball is kind of like the best way to describe the size of it. And it looks similar to a pickleball, I would say, but it's a little bit heavier. If you get hit with one or if it hits a window, it's not going to break a window. If you get hit with it, it doesn't really hurt. So there's nothing to really worry about there. We started with smaller balls. The problem with the small size golf balls is most people's lawns or grass they're playing on, like it's longer. So the ball just sits down in the grass and then you just end up taking these huge divots. So we went with the bigger balls because it sits up nice, like on top of the grass. So it's just so much easier to hit it. Even if you're a great golfer, beginner golfer, it doesn't matter. Like the bigger size ball is more fun to play with. And then the clubs, you can use your own club. That's what we started with, is just using like any old high iron, like a pitching wedge through a 6 iron, or kind of like the best one we've found. After a few years, we came out with an oversized club head. That's a very dense, heavy plastic, kind of similar to what you'd find on a mini golf club in the shape of a golf iron, a high lofted golf iron. And that's when like the game really started to elevate, is when we got these custom clubs, because it just makes it 10 times better. And also, yeah, safer if you have kids around. So you don't have to worry about if you hit somebody with a club, it's not going to hurt as bad as hitting them with a golf iron.
Yeah, and also easier to hit. I was at the PGA show and hitting some shots with that, with the bigger ball and the bigger club head. So it removes that intimidation factor also, or feeling you're going to fail, or the embarrassment factor, I guess you can say, that you've opened up this other market of non-golfers. So every kind of like mini golf that anyone can play. In fact, with bucket golf, I'm sure you get that too. That someone that maybe has never swung a golf club before, and the fact the ball's bigger, the club head's bigger, they're not whiffing, they're hitting the shot, they just got to hit the bucket rather than getting in a 4.25-inch diameter hole. Everybody's smiling rather than being frustrated and not wanting to play.
Exactly. It really opens the game up to a lot more people, just because not that many people are willing to like practice a ton to get good at real golf. It makes it a lot easier. And then even if you're great at golf, honestly, like it's still awesome. But yeah, it really does a good job of opening the game up to everyone.
Nice, nice. So I want to circle back here to branding, because that's part of what we do with our company, with some of the ventures and activations that we've created. We have a brand wrapped around that. So I'm curious to hear about how you landed on bucket golf. It seems quite obvious to me, but were there other iterations, other names? Like, it seems so obvious, but I have a feeling it might have not been such a straight line to arrive at bucket golf, even though it's right there in front of you. Or maybe it was. So tell us the story between the naming and the branding of bucket golf.
It started off, it wasn't a real game. We used to call it lawn golf just because we played on a lawn. And that's the name we were going to go with. However, lawn golf was trademarked for a different company. I think it was like a league or something where I think people just played golf on a lawn or something like that. But it was already taken, so we couldn't use that. We kind of, played around with what else we could use. And at that point, the top option after we played around with it seemed like bucket golf was the best option, because lawn golf wasn't even a good name, honestly, because you can play it anywhere. It's not just on your lawn. It's a blessing in disguise that the name was taken, because we would have gone with lawn golf, but bucket golf is a much better name for what the game is.
I agree, because I've seen some videos where people are playing on the beach, having a good time there. So yeah, lawn seems to limit what you're doing. So bucket golf is way, way better. So don't have to just play during the day here. I have seen that you have a night option or you have enhancements so you can have a great time at night too. So tell us about that, what you've created.
Yeah, so the Bucket Golf Glow, it's one of our newest product additions. We just came out with it like 6 months ago, mostly from customers reaching out saying that they wanted to play at night, or they would send us videos of them with lights out in their backyard and like trying to play, but you couldn't really see. I started Bucket Golf Glow, and we have LED strips for the buckets, LED bulbs for the balls, and then lights for the tee boxes as well. So it just lights up pretty much the entire course. And you can play it once it gets dark, and it is a ton of fun. I wasn't sure how awesome it would be because we hadn't really done it yet. And then we got some samples and tested it out ourselves. I think we played till like midnight. The first night we did it for like 3 hours. It is an awesome addition to Bucket Golf to be able to play it once the lights go down.
Yeah. So in this case, the ball, the tee line that you have from where you hit from, and also the bucket, those three things are all lit up, correct?
Yeah, and they are pretty bright when you set it up out there. Like, they are really easy to see. Yeah, all different colors. You can do whatever you want with it. Great for like parties, events, or just if you want to play with a couple buddies later at night when the sun's gone down.
Fun. Well, I definitely want to give it a shot. And we've talked about this earlier because on the Mod Golf YouTube channel, we do, or I do, product reviews. And I would love to have that experience, create some videos playing Bucket Golf and showing off your product there. And it's one of these things, I just love what you're doing. You're not paying me. In the show notes, we'll include the link for Bucket Golf's website. So if you want to order any of their products or look at what they're doing there, I highly encourage you to do it because it's a lot of fun. And the fact you can do it anywhere with anyone at any time is pretty darn cool. I want to circle back to the PGA show. So as far as your business decisions, because you were not there the previous year, because I didn't see you. So what made you decide to go to the PGA show? Because it's not cheap to go there. There is a lot of costs involved with that. So why did you decide, what encouraged you or motivated you to take the plunge and go to the PGA show in January in Orlando?
Yes. So we actually were there the year before, but we didn't do a demo day. And we also had a much smaller booth. So that's probably why we didn't get lined up the year before. But yeah, gotcha, this year, gotcha. What made us kind of decide to want to go and then go back and get a bigger booth and go to demo day and stuff was we originally weren't sure what customer was going to be there just because we had never been to the PGA show. So originally we thought it was going to just kind of be consumers like looking to use our game the same way we had mainly been using it, which was primarily just for adults and like their families is the sweet spot. Like, families love playing Bucket Golf. And then when we got there, we realized that there's this whole other avenue for Bucket Golf, which is for junior kids to learn the game of golf and like PE classes and golf courses, just having the game on the side for people who don't play golf. So it opened up this whole other window to the game where it's like, it's not only a fun game for everyone to play, but it's a way to learn the game of golf and get into the game of golf if you're a younger player. So that's kind of what got us going and kept us coming back. It's just as big of a hit, it seems like, for those types learning golf as it is for someone just looking to have fun.
Love this. So for all of you aspiring entrepreneurs out there that may have an idea, you may already have a product or something you're working on and at the early stage, what Tyler is saying here is just a great example of you don't have to have all the answers when you're starting. You don't need to have certainty. Everything that you do, every conversation you have, every show or event you go to is an opportunity for clarity or even seeing other opportunities. It sounds to me when you started Bucket Golf, you were looking at sales of directly to consumers. So a business to consumer, a B2C play one set at a time. So I'm assuming now you're seeing opportunities more of a business to business side with schools. So I want to ask you about that. Are you connecting now or have interest from school boards or golf academies where you can sell 50 or 100 sets at once, maybe, or 20 sets rather than just one? So is that another business funnel that's opened up for you now over the last little while that you've seen?
Yeah, it really has. Started with the junior camps, and now it's starting to spread out into PE classes just because there really isn't a way to play golf outside of going to the real course, which is, if you're younger, is just the most frustrating thing in the world to try to learn. So it's really opened up a new avenue where, yeah, people are buying more than one at a time there, and just like a totally different crowd to go after. Like, the market just keeps growing for the amount of people we can find for who are interested in a product that like what we have.
We are now going to take a short break to learn about our episode presenting partner, Golf Genius Software. Golf Genius powers tournament management at over 10,000 private clubs, public courses, resorts, golf associations, and tours in over 60 countries. So if you're a golf professional or course operator who wants to save time, deliver exceptional golf experiences, and generate more revenue, check them out online at www.golfgenius.com. So I want to talk about product for a minute, because this is a physical thing. So what is your background? Do you have a background in product design or manufacturing, or what is your background before you got involved with Bucket Golf?
Yeah, so I have absolutely no background in this whatsoever. I was a lacrosse coach and worked for a lacrosse company. So I would run camps and coach, do kind of some back-end email stuff and help there. But that was about it. Yeah, I had zero background in any of this stuff. When I was younger, I used to build, me and my friends would go out and build bike jumps, ski rails. And I loved Legos, I guess, is probably the closest I could get to being a product developer, but not directly whatsoever. No, kind of just had to learn it as I went along, and just trial and error, learning it by doing, which I honestly think is one of the best ways to get good at something, is by just diving in and doing it.
I agree. The act of doing is, I believe, the best way to learn for what works and also for what does not, and just keep iterating and moving forward. So you had this experience with someone else's set. They said, hey, if you want to turn this into a business, fill your boots, go for it. So what was the next step then? Were you then trying to then create some social media buzz through getting some traction there by creating some content? Or were you then looking to get a, if you want to say, a prototype or minimum viable product or something that you can create a couple of sets and then figure how you can scale that with manufacturing partners? So tell me what the first couple of steps were. Because there were lots of ways you can go on with this and get overwhelmed with what you needed to get this to market. So tell us about the next steps that you did right after you decided, you know what, I'm going to go with this and Bucket Golf's going to become a thing that we're going to bring to the masses.
Yeah. So the first step was trying to get the product made somehow. I tried to do it here, couldn't do it here really just because it was so expensive. Went overseas to try to get it made. And then once I got it all like put together and stuff, figured out that part, then hit the ground on like, how am I going to get this out there? Tried to go the social media route and like master that. That took about 2 years. Like I simplified that process. The hardest part is in the beginning, how long it takes to really learn stuff. Didn't really see any success, honestly, whatsoever for the first 2 years. And that was like, I was trying as hard as I could too. I wasn't like putting a little bit of time into it. Like I was putting everything I had into it outside of my regular day job. Just as I went along, I learned more and more and more. The biggest thing for me at that point was learning that shipping is very expensive. You need your box to be small. So the light bulb moment that took us from not really doing too much in sales for the first couple of years to starting to really like go upward was the buckets used to all be plastic buckets, like a soft, flexible plastic. And the box is pretty big that they came in. And then I figured out after looking at my roommate throw his laundry into his pop-up laundry hamper that I should just make the buckets pop-up buckets. And that kind of solved a ton of issues for us, just as far as like the game could be cheaper now, the box is much smaller. I mean, it cut the game price in like half almost right around at that point, kind of started to figure out the social media side and marketing of how to get the game out there. And it kind of all clicked at the same point. Like everything just started to come together. 2 years in is when like the snowball started rolling down the hill kind of at that point.
Nice. See, I just love what you said there of what really made the business take off was not new technology. It wasn't maybe a new customer market. It was the shipping aspect and the overhead and the cost that was making this problematic for you. It sounds like before with rigid buckets, you were shipping or passing that cost along to the consumer. You were shipping probably 85% air in every single box. No matter how you arranged it, the best that you could. So by having them like that laundry hamper, you said that basket of being able to then retract it and then pull it back up, that made such a difference. And well, is the difference, it sounds like, to reduce your costs and to be able to scale very quickly.
Yeah, that was the difference. We were either getting sales and making $0 or even losing money on them, or we were charging enough to make money with the huge boxes and no one would buy it. That took care of that whole entire problem. And at the same time, like all the other stuff, I've started figuring out better too. Like running ads and like social media. So I got better. It wasn't just that, but that was definitely like one of the biggest hurdles to get over was that problem. Cause no matter what we did, if that was what we were selling and shipping in that size box, we would not be even close to where we are right now.
Yeah. And I guess the user experience also, once you have the kit, that to carry that around, whether to a friend's house or to the beach, like we talked about, or to wherever, to a party, I guess previously, it was quite a load to carry around. There was a lot of volume to it. But now I'm seeing the bag that you had, it's got some handles on it. You can just pick it up and one person can just carry it and off you go. Just put it in your car, take it on the bus, whatever you want to do.
Literally, it solves so many issues, way more than I ever thought of. And it honestly made the game better. Even like the gameplay itself is better with the pop-up bucket. When the ball hits it and the bucket kind of like collapses a little bit when you hit the ball in it, the feeling is even better than when it's a hard plastic bucket. That was like the toughest thing, was trying to find a way to make it all these things smaller box and like all the stuff, but without taking away from the gameplay itself. And that was the magic bullet right there. It just fixed everything.
Nice. Nice. So I want to double back because I have another question regarding manufacturing. So tell us a bit about that process. Like you said, it was not financially viable to do it in the United States. Unfortunately, we always want to do it at home, but sometimes it's prohibitive for the business model to work. So sounds like you didn't have any experience in that area. So did you bring someone else on that did, or you just do some research? So tell us about that, or how you landed on that and then were confident that it wasn't a scam or that they could deliver. And did you physically go to another country? So tell us about that in the early days, that how you weave your way through that process and then landed on the partner you have that manufactures Bucket Golf.
I did it myself, kind of just started searching around everywhere to try to like figure out. I didn't know anybody. I was trying to look for like a friend or a family member or someone who knew anything about this, and nobody came up whatsoever. So just kind of had to search around and try to figure it out myself. Finally, like found my way to finding a couple manufacturers who could make something like this. And I got a couple samples made just to make sure, like, is this going to look what I thought it was going to look like? Person that sent us the best sample is kind of the one like, okay, we like what you guys made us. Like, we're going to roll with you on an initial order here. So we placed an order with them. And honestly, I had zero idea whether all my money was just gone the second I pressed send, or if I was actually going to ever see that money again. I 50-50 shot, who knows, because I'd never done it before.
Right.
But yeah, hey, you know, like you have to put down an initial deposit for them to start making the stuff. And then once they make it, before they ship, you have to put down the rest. And yeah, it's nerve-wracking throwing that first, clicking enter when you send that money to them, when you don't know who they are. They're halfway across the world and you're just like, crossing your fingers, I hope this works out. And looking back on it now, it was going to work out, just because like, yeah, most of the people out there, they're not like full on scam artists where they're going to steal your money. Like they might not deliver what you think you're going to get. And you got to be very careful and like make sure you find the right partners, because we've gotten screwed over our fair share of times for sure with working with the wrong people and not getting what you're supposed to get and being out a lot of money. But if you're careful and do it the right way, you'll figure it out sooner or later, and you'll take some hits along the way for sure. There's no way around that.
That's part of the learning curve. I realize every product is different between sophistication and complexity and size, but just give us a time frame here from when you started to look into this, started to do your research, to the time that you actually paid the second payment for that first big order to be delivered. How long was that in weeks or months or even years?
Get to the spot of ordering our first order took at least like a full year to get to that long, just because I knew absolutely nothing about it and didn't know anyone who could help. But the initial order was actually not even the real order. It was like the old school flexible buckets, and then kept evolving to the new product. So from beginning to end, when we didn't get the new one, yeah, probably like a year from when we actually placed that first order.
Right. So it sounds like you've got a partner now that as you iterate your design, you're using the same manufacturer to create your product. Is that correct?
Yeah. We finally landed on like one main one that we really like and trust. We know that they'll deliver on what they say they're going to do. We've used probably like 5 or 6 different people though over the entire time.
Yep. It's not a straight line in this entrepreneurship thing, is it? Not at all. So talking about partnerships on the manufacturing side, I'd love to hear about the power of partnerships to help you scale even quicker. You talked about with youth golf, and I don't know what the PGA of America or other groups coming out of the PGA show. Are there any new relationships that you fostered and partnerships that will help you grow? Because what they're doing, especially with kids golf, is aligning very much of what you're offering with Bucket Golf.
Yeah, nothing too major, but we have started to work with like a good amount of the smaller like traveling tours just to like partner up with them and junior golf places. But none of the big companies like the PGA or anything like that, we haven't partnered with anybody like that quite yet. But hopefully in the future, we'll get something like that going.
I'm sure you will. I think it's only a matter of time with the alignment here of what you're offering. Okay, I had to ask this question. It's a bit of a quirky one. Even though I play right-handed, I'm up here in Canada where we have over 6 million golfers, more golfers per capita than any other country in the world. Well, the 40 million people here is over 6 million golfers. And then everybody playing other golf formats, just like bucket golf. But we have this quirky little stat. It's because so many people play hockey and are left-handed shots that we have about 20% of all golfers are left-handed, which is more than double anywhere else in the world. So with your clubs, do you also offer a left-handed club or just the right-handed club?
We do offer left-handed clubs. We offer right, left, adult, junior, toddler. We have all different sizes and hands of clubs. And we actually found that out the hard way that there are a lot of lefties in Canada because we launched last summer there and found out real quick when we tried to do the same ratio of righty to lefty up there as we do down here in the US that we ran out real quick on lefty clubs there. And then started talking to people and everyone was like, oh yeah, there's a lot of lefties up here. And we're like, oh, now I see why.
Yep, it's the hockey thing. It's definitely the hockey thing. Last question I want to ask you here, Tyler, is as far as creating content and even competitions or leagues, or is there anything there? Are you going to have the first Bucket Golf Invitational or the Open? Is there any fun things there that you've already done or are looking to do? It seems to me it's like right there in front of you that you can start to create events or competitions around this that could scale into, I don't know, regional events or national ones or having some fun, maybe become the American Ninja Warrior of golf. I don't know. But have you thought about that at all in the 2024 and beyond?
We run tournaments ourselves just with our family and friends and stuff all the time, like back when we very first started. Since then, it's actually been not us. We've had, I don't even know how many now, probably 20 or 30 different people that we know of reach out to run their own bucket golf tournament this past year already, probably even more people. So we have a good amount of people, yeah, running like official bucket golf tournaments with their family and friends. But we are looking to get something official started where we'll be the ones or using people who love bucket golf and are already doing their own tournaments. If they want to help run tournaments in different areas throughout US, Canada, Australia, wherever we are looking to get something more official going just because it's a blast to play and it gets more competitive than you'd think it would for a backyard game.
I love it. I love it. Well, that user-generated content, whether they're running their own tournaments, that also helps you scale and get the word out, as we know, and especially with social media. People are creating content around your product. It's gold. It is absolutely gold. So with that user-generated content, what is the most awesome course or hole or configuration that you have seen that someone else has set up that is just like crazy, awesome, ridiculous? What's out there that you've seen?
Oh, I've seen a lot of really great courses, people tagging us. I'm trying to think of what's my favorite one I've seen. There's honestly too many to pick one out on what my favorite course is. But we've seen some wild ones just from like people setting them up at hotels and golf courses or just like some really cool backyards we've seen.
Has anyone done a crazy hole where the bucket is down low and whether they're at the top 100 feet above or something where the elevation difference is like crazy high?
There has been one person. Yeah. So they had a backyard with like a very steep ravine in the back and they had about probably like a 50 yard elevated tee box. They're hitting down onto this one. I think it actually was in Canada. And then what did someone else do? Like jog my memory. We've had people make water holes where they'll put the bucket on a little floaty in the middle of the pool as like the final hole. It looks awesome, nearly probably impossible to finish the hole because you're probably going to miss about 10 times into the pool before. But those have been some water holes, which have been cool. Those are probably, yeah, the top ones I could think of right now for those.
So good. So, hey, why don't we finish up there, Tyler? But before you go, why don't you let our listeners know where they can learn about bucket golf, where they can see it in action, and most importantly, they can order a set if they so desire.
Yeah, so if you want to see it in action, the best place is our social media. We're Bucket Golf Game, and we are on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube is where we put a lot of our stuff. A lot of it's us playing, but also a ton of it is just other people playing who send in videos. So if you got any videos of yourself playing, feel free to send them over. We love watching everyone play. And if you want to learn more about like the game and rules, our website is bucketgolfgame.com. And that's where we have like more descriptions and like course design tips and all that stuff. And you can also buy the game on our website. We have our warehouse here in California where we ship it all out. And then we have warehouses in Canada, Australia as well. And then if you wanted to buy it in store, we're in a good amount of retail stores as well. Most of the listeners here are from Canada or the US, but if you're next to any Golf Town stores, we are carried in all Golf Town across Canada. And Sports Experts stores, we are also in Sports Experts throughout Canada as well. And then in the US, we are in Scheels and Dick's Sporting Goods are the two bigger. And then we're in a bunch of smaller shops all over Canada and the US as well. So if there's anything to do with golf or outdoor games at a shop near you, you could probably call and ask. They may have Bucket Golf there.
Amazing, amazing. Well, as I always do, Tyler, I will include all of the links that you just mentioned in the show notes to make it nice and easy for our listeners to connect with you in the way that they best see fit that works for them. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm looking forward to getting a set of Bucket Golf, and Bucket Golf Glow would be amazing too, so we can set it up and shoot some videos ourselves here for the Mod Golf YouTube channel and have some fun, and also give you guys a little bit of love there as we do a Mod Golf product review, which I have a feeling we're not going to be too critical or harsh because I already love the product. So I think it's going to be a bit of a softball one that you're going to get nothing but love from us, but look forward to doing that on our YouTube channel too. So hey, to finish up, Tyler Simmons, president and founder of Bucket Golf, thanks for spending the time and joining me and our audience today on the Mod Golf Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
So that's a wrap for this episode of the Mod Golf Podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation about entrepreneurship in the golf industry, you can find more compelling episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen in. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on our homepage to hear about upcoming episodes and to enter our latest golf product giveaway. I'm your host, Colin Weston. Thanks very much for joining me. Bye for now.